I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
First Cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Valero Texas Open. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good day.
Good day. What's going on, gang? Tough scene out there for the golfers, our athletes crowd, with what happened on the 18th green. They're at TPC San Antonio, but outside that, some fun golf and an unexpected, exciting tournament.
Greg Ducharme is here. Hello, Greg.
Hello, boys. Maybe if he had taken his shirt off and taped up right there on the 18th hole, he could have redeemed the golfers or athletes thing. But I don't know. But all in all, what a week. I mean, Rory McIlroy came in third place. Spoiler alert, and lost by 9. This was an incredible day. And you're right, Patrick. It was unexpected.
It was electric. It was the final 9 was electric. That will not stop people from wondering why we are not starting on time. The big potato would love it if we were on time for once.
All right, big potato. Take a lap, pal.
Here's the big potato. We decide what on time is. Right. Like we say, hey, the show's going to start at this time. It's going to start at that time. Like, that's what happens. Also, we're not just sitting around like picking our noses back here.
Just wait. We're just waiting. We'll literally go.
Second, the thing ended. Final putt drops. Boom. HQ. The second I'm done HQ, we're here. We're podding, bro.
We're more than just podcasters, big potato. We're people, too. Just keep that in mind.
Yes. We are humans, so be nice. Okay, wow. We could go through the whole like, oh, you know, here were some moving day rounds and things that. No, we're gonna just go straight to the back 9 because that is when this thing started, and it was really kind of over. Akshay Bhatia, who entered the day with a 4-shot lead, birdies his first 2 holes. Birdies the 4th. He makes the turn in 3 under. Greg, this is a dream start. It's all over.
It's over at that point. You're absolutely right, Rick. I mean, when you have a lead like that and all of a sudden you can hit a wedge tight on the very first hole, take care of the par 5 at the second, you're in complete control. And you reach 17 and then 18 under. How are you going to catch that? It just doesn't seem possible. So Akshay seemed calm. He seemed in control, and he did exactly what he had to do. He did not look defensive early on. He was aggressive and smart at the same time, which was the perfect balance. He did everything he had to do.
He had that look in his eye, Patrick. I did not think that there was like, I didn't see him coughing it up. He didn't. We'll get to how they got to a playoff in a second, but he, like Greg said, I thought he looked confident. The game looked sharp. He kept the gas on the pedal for as long as he needed to. This was an impressive, not only 18, but just a truly magnificent first night.
Yeah. If you would have told him that, you know, he shoots 67 with a 4-stroke lead and he has to make a putt at the end to force a playoff, he would have told you that you were crazy. I wrote it. I think I might be responsible here because I pre-wrote the gamer a little early. Even after the 2-shot swing on 10, I'm like, there's no way this is going to be close. Denny, I mean, he's 4 back at the moment. Akshay, he looks so steady all week. I mean, the golf came so easy to him the entire week. And then all of a sudden, you know, he misses a couple short putts right on 10 and then another on 17 that would have really slammed the door shut. And Denny's just making everything, chipping in, tee to green. I mean, we talk about him as a putter. Tee to green, it was unbelievable today from Denny. And I mean, a back nine, 28 is just silly with everything on the line.
Patrick, you mentioned a couple short putts. I mean, 10 and 17, that's like pretty far apart. You know, and I agree they were short misses and he could have made them. But it's not like it started a demise. You know, it never felt like, okay, Akshay's losing it here. He missed a short one. He should have gotten that up and down on 10. He doesn't, but he birdies 11. Immediately following that, and then birdies 14, great bunker shot, some really nice up and downs. It wasn't like sometimes a missed putt like that on 10 can get you feeling like things are snowballing out of control, and that was not the case for Akshay. He was still playing offense after that, which amazed me.
Denny McCarthy saw that 6-shot lead with 9 to go and said, hold my beer. Watch this. He puts up a video game second 9. This is straight out of a video game. This is birdies on 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah, that's 8 of the final 9 holes. He was rolling in everything, Patrick. You mentioned the chip in. Was just dead in the heart. And after each one of these circles he's putting on the card, he's chipping away. He's chipping away. That confidence in Akshay's eyes is turning a little bit to concern, a little bit to worry. And Denny is in fuego.
Yeah, I thought we were in the midst of something special with that tee shot on 12 to like 3 feet closest all week. And it's like, all right, this guy's going to get going. He hits a decent pitch there on 14, the par 5 connects there. At that point, it's like he's got to have all of these to have a chance. And then there on the par 3 16th, if you want to say Akshay got nervous at all during this back nine, it felt like on that tee he got a little bit nervy. Denny puts it close, 12 feet underneath. Akshay has probably his worst swing of the entire week. But then he gets up and down, saves par, avoids that 2-shot swing. And Denny rolls his in from 12 feet. And I'll be honest, once Denny made his putt on 18, I thought he won. I legitimately thought he won.
So there's a lot here. So Greg, the shot on 13, which is the long par 3.
Yeah.
Denny hits to a couple. I mean, it's like 251 yards. Denny hits after backing off and not sure he has the right club to recommit. And stuff that to a couple of feet. That's when I was like, okay, just inject this finish right now.
Well, that was fascinating because if you were watching on the broadcast, Denny was talking about the wind with help. I mean, he had 5-iron. Now, 251, don't think Denny McCarthy hits a 5-iron 251. Right? If you're watching on YouTube, you can see there's a lot of green between the front edge and the flag. So he's trying to land that somewhere around front edge. But the wind gauge on the broadcast is showing into the wind, and they're playing for help. And so you're thinking, as he's over the ball, okay, he's got this wrong. And then he backs off, and they discuss, I don't know why we're feeling that. It's there, just trust it. And boy, did he ever. Because he hit a absolutely flawless shot in there. And that was a big, big moment on a 251 yard par three.
Then, so this is the whole, I'll stay here with you, Greg, because Patrick had mentioned it. This is the final par three, the next par three, 16. Denny stuffs one close. This is the miss from Akshay. I mean, short, yeah. Right, weak, ugly. You can't really see it from here, but that green's, I don't know, a couple feet elevated. So he's got to hit like a little spinny little guy up there. He gets it up and down, but we're now engaged in a full on battle.
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, that bunker in the middle of that green, which is just a couple paces behind that flag stick, is, you're not getting up and down from there. Right? That is no zone. So that puts Akshay in a difficult club situation. Nine is too much. Pitching wedge is not enough. He goes with pitching wedge. Seems like he tries to hit it a little harder. And Denny's shot in there, absolutely, which Denny had a much more comfortable club, it seemed like, with the nine iron, and hitting that into the absolutely perfect spot with his ability on the greens was, it definitely put pressure on Akshay. But his ability to get it up and down showed the calmness that, I mean, it made me so happy to see. Because now you got a tight lie, you got an elevated green, you're all of a sudden going from, well, I can play defense to, okay, this is getting real now. I could be in trouble. If I don't get this up and down, I'm in trouble. And he does. He steps up. There weren't a lot of big pressure moments for him up until this point. This was the first big time pressure moment for him, in my opinion, and he gets it up and down.
18. And Patrick, you mentioned this. This is the first time in regulation here, so we're still lugging Brendan Todd along with us here in this group. both Akshay and Denny lay up. They hit good ones. Denny 12 and a half feet, Akshay 11 and a half feet. Denny rolls his in to finish and complete the 28. You said you thought it was over because you thought Akshay was going to miss and that was going to be it, right? And Denny was going to just heartbreak steal this thing away.
That would have been the order of operations, correct? But I'm glad you brought up Brendan Todd. Talk about stealing the spotlight on the 18th hole. I mean, good for him. He literally said, you know what? It's Brendan Todd's time. And he went for it. He spent, I think, 3 hours over that wedge shot into the 18th green. I digress. I mean, Denny's putt was just, it felt like once he hit it, it was destined to fall into the bottom of the cup. It was so pure.
It's perfect.
The cups could have been half the size today, and he still would have made everything.
It was so pure. And then, I mean, the guts for Akshay. I mean, your world has to be moving so fast internally. Your mind has to be racing. You just get steamrolled by a back 9, 28, 7 straight birdies, and you're like, how the hell do I have an 11 footer to force a playoff? Slept on a 4-stroke lead, was 4 under up to that point, played really good, nearly flawless golf pretty much all week. And you're like, holy hell, you beat third place by 9. By 9. They pretty much doubled up the field. and he's got to make an 11 footer after missing a pretty short one on 17. And so to come back there and drain it, I mean, balls, really. It took a lot of balls.
All that, Greg, all of that, right? You are watching this thing leave your body, and you are no longer in the lead. That putt, Denny's in at 20. This putt is to get you to 20. You're like the ability for him to step up there and roll that thing in. I agree with Patrick. I thought there was zero chance he was making that putt.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I actually thought Denny won when I checked shot. I'm watching, and before they are up to the green, I'm like, okay, this is first in wins. Who's away? Denny's away by a foot. This is over. That's what I'm thinking. And then Denny pours it in the middle, as expected, and it's all, yeah, this is over. Because the situation changes so fast. You have played, you have been in a with a significant lead the entire tournament, and a birdie has been a bonus. You haven't been in a single situation where you have to make this, or even, I mean, he might have felt like he had to get up and down on 16. He might have felt like he had to get up and down on 14, but probably not. Well, now it's come all the way to this, and you have to make it. And he does. And it's not Denny McCarthy's strength is his putter. If you didn't believe it before, you saw it now. By the way, on that note, it was really cool to see Denny McCarthy putt in contention like that. Because we've seen him be a great putter statistically, but you haven't really seen him be dangerous with it. Because he hasn't contended that often. And all of a sudden, you see the weapon on full display. And that I thought that was really cool.
Akshay rolls it in, forces a playoff, and that's just where the fun begins. Okay?
Brutal scene.
That's just where the fun begins. Because Akshay gives us the fist pump, then I guess to his caddy goes for a fist bump, a little too aggressive for somebody with recurring shoulder situations. And he says, quote, his shoulder popped in and popped out and popped back in.
Dislocated.
I'm not a doctor. Sounds crappy. Sounds not good. But when we come back from commercial and they are trucking back to the 18th tee to start this playoff, Akshay's grabbing his shoulder and giving Ken Tackett the number of his physio. That's where we're at.
I thought he wrote down his dinner order. It's like, oh, you guys are getting something to go.
I thought he was WD-ing, right? I was like, why does he have a scorecard out? Like, why is he like, what is he handing Ken Tackett? Like, why is he giving him? I thought he was like taking his card and giving it up and like walking off the golf course.
I can't believe he pretty much called a timeout. He was playing four corners and he had to go behind. I think they went behind the electronic scoreboard.
Hold on a second. We'll get to that in a minute. Greg, now you look at this. One guy has just shot a 28. One guy has just made 7 straight birdies. The other guy just injured himself celebrating like a true athlete that he is. Again, we are in – this is Denny's now. This is Denny's to lose.
Yeah, even more so. But then Akshay stripes his tee shot right down the middle. You know, I was really worried about the tee shot. And then he lays up, which was wise. Then he misses the fairway, has to lay up. But I thought Akshay, once he hit his layup into the fairway, was kind of in the clear. Because now, all right, you just hit a full tee shot, and now you got 85 yards. And that's when they go tape it up. So I give him credit real quick, Rick. I give him a lot of credit because that situation, I'm like, this is going to take forever. And it really didn't. It could have taken a whole lot longer, I thought.
This was such a bizarre scene. So both players lay up to Denny's 99 yards out, Akshay's 80-something yards out. Denny hits it in the water. Just a full-on chili dip type situation. From 99 yards, hits it into the creek. So now, advantage Akshay. And we are, I mean, we're in the group, Patrick. We've got the audio. The physio comes out to Akshay. He wants to get it taped up. They turn to Ken Tackett and say, like, you know, I want to get my shoulder taped up. I got to take my shirt off. Where can I do this in private?
Are any of the dressing rooms available?
This is a guy who has taken his shirt off on the golf course before.
He loves it. Multiple times he's taken his shirt off. He's getting a little shy now. But I have never seen – this is truly – it was truly a timeout. I have never seen anything like this, right, where he could actually say, okay, I'm going to get treatment. I need it taped up. We are going to – we're going to go over here behind the scoreboard, take my shirt off and get taped. I've never seen anything like that.
I'm with Greg where it was like you just pumped one 300 down the middle, and now you got to get taped for this 90-yard wedge shot. And even there on the broadcast, they were like, oh, this is a mistake. What is he doing? This could ruin everything.
Also, the guy you're playing against just hit one in the water. Just go up there and like hit it. Just, yeah, you don't even have to do anything special.
I am a little disappointed where I wanted like more of a, I don't know, but yeah.
But more, wait, hold on. More of what? What did you want more of?
I kind of wish the broadcast covered it better. I went straight to commercial, at least on mine, right? Not on the NBC Sports app because mine doesn't work, but on the Peacock app. It just cut straight to commercial, and I was like, this is all we're getting? And then he popped up, he was fine, and he had his wedge shot to, what was it, like 6 feet?
Yeah, they almost like missed him coming back because it was the fastest. I didn't even know you could tape a shoulder that fast. I don't know what goes into taping a shoulder, but it did not take long.
It didn't take long at all. And he was back, like, it seemed like he was walking all the way across the fairway.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they come back from commercial, he's mid-backswing.
Yeah, his shirt's back tucked in. He's over his golf ball. He's about to hit. It's unbelievable. And then he stuffs it, Greg. Then he stuffs it to a couple feet. And yeah, I guess he knows what he's doing. Go get it taped up.
I mean, that at that point, all he has to do is get it on the green.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, Denny McCarthy hit so far behind that ball. It landed in the middle of the water. I can't believe it. I was texting a buddy of mine, and I was like, oh, that's the classic post seven birdie in a row mess up.
Yeah, it always pops out after I make seven birdies in a row.
I can never get to eight. I felt sick for him, but it definitely made that shot for Akshay a whole lot easier. Now it's like a warm-up, you know, a warm-up shot. Like, you just got to the golf course, your shoulders taped, and you got to hit an 85-yard shot. Piece of cake.
Yeah. Piece of cake, makes the putt, wins for the second time on the PGA Tour. But this is a big boy. This gets you into the Masters, and it's Denny McCarthy who is getting buzzsawed. So here's the stat. They gained 21 strokes to the field today, both of them. Akshay and Denny, they both cannot win. That would have been good enough, 21 strokes gained, to win each of the last 167 PGA Tour events. That includes all majors. The last time that would not have been enough to win? Any guesses? So somebody else who won by a ton?
It would have won the last 167.
Joaquin Neiman Genesis?
Not a bad guess.
Dustin Johnson, TPC Boston.
No, not a bad guess either, but not correct. I thought Greg might get it.
Have a year?
Go ahead, Greg.
Nope, I was definitely wrong. The math doesn't add up.
Bryson at Winged Foot.
Wow.
Yeah. Bryson at
2020,
Bryson at Winged Foot. Was he gains like 22 to the field. Remember, he won by six, and then it's a major, so you usually get a wider amount of guys that are playing. So yes, it was Bryson gained like 22 strokes. So that unfortunately is example 1 billion of how hard it is to win golf tournaments.
You could think about this from two perspectives, right? If you're Akshay, you have a 4-shot lead, you go shoot 67 and you end up in a playoff. If you're Denny McCarthy, you're in the final group. You make 7 birdies in a row and shoot 28 on the back nine and you're in a playoff. I mean, both are unbelievable. And Denny McCarthy missed 2 putts on the front nine from 6 feet at 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear, so the broadcast was touting, you know, the greatest single putting week ever.
92, Rick. I don't know if you knew.
BS. Total putts is not a stat to decide if you are a good putter or not. He was 7th in approach this week, and he was phenomenal. He was like number one in tee to green on Sunday. He was hitting the cover off the ball
I don't care how many putts it took. He was absolutely hitting the cover off the ball.
Yeah. He was third for the week in strokes gained putting.
Yeah, but
10th on the day.
Third for the week, Greg. Not the greatest putting performance ever assembled.
No. But he did have, I mean, the total putts is it is crazy.
I agree.
21 putts in round one, 24 in round two, 25 in round three, 22 in round four.
It's crazy, but it was also crazy when Cam Smith had like 19 putts and shot over par one time because he just missed every green and chipped them all to 1 foot.
Yes. Yeah,
I was going to mention that.
That's the problem with the stat.
Yeah.
He was hitting them to the fringe, like just off. It was awesome.
It was actually...
It looked like he was doing it on purpose.
It was incredibly compelling to watch. Yeah.
So we used to play this game. It was called The Monkey, right? It would be like an additional game in a match you're playing. And the last person to three putt on each nine holes gets the monkey. Mm-hmm. And so if you three putt on eight, I mean, you could have seven three putts on one through eight and somebody else three putts nine, they get the monkey. That's $5 or whatever you decide at the beginning. And so you get all these, somebody's got, they leave a little meat on the bone. Everybody's going, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's really fun. But anytime you hit it on the fringe, we called it monkey management. Monkey management.
That's good.
Oh, it's so funny.
That's pretty good. Unbelievable back nine. Akshay Bhatia wins, gets the 1.5 million, gets into the Masters. Amazing stuff. Denny, sorry, winning continues to be very difficult. We'll hit two quick ones, then we'll move on to kind of Masters stuff here. But that solo third, 11 under, that's Rory McIlroy. And Patrick, have you seen enough? Are you excited about what you saw here from Rory, who shoots a 66 on Sunday, as he heads into next week, trying to do the complete the career Grand Slam?
I will not be a member of the Rory roll call this major. After the Open, he broke my heart. I can't go back to him right away. But two things really stuck out to me. It's never like encouraging when you do the practice takeaway. You throw that into the repertoire the week before the Masters. But one, his irons did take a nice step in the right direction. He gained almost 2 strokes around. He was great today in particular as well. I think he was second in the field. And then two, the miss that has been his bugaboo the first 3 months, it started in Dubai on the 72nd hole against Tommy Fleetwood, that quick, aggressive one to the left. And you can't get around Augusta National with that one. Rory McIlroy, of all people, understands that. If you want to look at some of his greatest hits from Augusta National, so to speak. And I didn't see too much of yesterday's round, and I know he missed one fairway badly to the left, but for the most part, the misses were generally to the right. And you can play golf all day, eliminating one side of the fairway. It's less aggressive, the right miss. And then he also got the big number out of the picture. Outside of a double bogey yesterday, he was great. And to go in with a bogey-free round, I mean, it's great prep for Rory McIlroy. Fantastic prep. You don't win, but you do everything right. But we also saw this last year at the match play when he finished third and then missed the cut immediately at the Masters. So I'm not part of the roll call, but I'm optimistic.
Not only did he eliminate the big number, which, Greg, that's something that you've been very keen on this year. He only made 3 bogeys. That's the fewest number of bogeys in the field this week. So cleaning it up, maybe passing the sniff test a little bit.
Yeah, he still has a double bogey or worse in every tournament he's played this year.
He did do that, yeah.
I mean, but it was on the first hole yesterday, and he rebounded and kept everything under control after that, and is bogey-free today. Patrick, the takeaway. Mm-hmm. You could look at it from one viewpoint and say, okay, this is another change right before the Masters. Like last year, we're going to put a new driver shaft in play, go to a shorter driver, and we're going to go to a blade putter. Last year, those things were they felt very unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
This is a move to solve a specific problem, and it comes from Butch Harmon. And if there's one thing that Butch Harmon knows how to do, it's how to get players ready to compete in tournaments. And he keeps things very simple. This is very similar to what Butch did with Webb Simpson before he won the 2020 Waste Management Phoenix Open. Very similar, a simple takeaway move. And I think you can play golf with that. Mm-hmm. Because it's something in the takeaway, it's not very complicated. It's just a very simple feeling early in the swing, and you can play with that. In fact, I think it's important to have a thought, as long as it's simple. And I think this is. So ultimately, that is a good sign to me. His ball striking, a good sign, in my opinion. I don't know if Rory's going to win the Masters, because my instinct says no. But I think the form is certainly there to put him in contention. Masters is just so different for him.
Yeah, I wish I could wipe his brain of all the memories. Maybe that would help. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to recap the bets and the one and done. And then we are going to turn our attention to a little event that is happening next week in Augusta, Georgia. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And we're back. Recap the bets in the one and done. I don't have all the fancy graphics because producer Josh is not here, but I have the results and I can read them off because I know how to read at least a little bit. Matchups. We did very well on matchups. I had a winner and Greg had a winner. Alex Noren over Colin Morikawa. Greg went with Max Homer. Homa over Colin Morikawa. Greg, Colin finished, I'm pretty sure, last of the guys who made the cut. No, he didn't. He finished T75, four rounds in the 70s, 70, 74, 75, 74.
Oh, boy. Not looking good. We talked about him on Thursday, and I thought there were some positive signs. Immediately after in Friday's round, those left misses with irons were back. Things are not looking good for Colin Morikawa. So we both picked on him. I'm happy to pick up the win, a much needed win.
Yes, we did get the win there. Colin lost two strokes on approach, 70th, and lost 5.5 putting.
Yeah, without a superpower, he's just... Yeah, average Joe.
He's just a Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a mild manner reporter.
He needs that. He needs the iron. The putting's almost irrelevant if you don't have the iron play.
Patrick, you're a loser.
Thank you.
I'm sure people have told you before, but It was close.
Very direct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't get anything for it, but it was close. You had Spieth over Spieth over Hideki. Spieth finished T10, but you lost because Hideki finished seventh, and that was a two-shot difference. Both guys played really well.
Yeah, I kind of wanted something on Spieth, and I went against Hideki, who's playing some of the best golf in the world at the moment. So dumb in hindsight, some would say, but I think I'd do it all over again.
The consolation prize is the Lucas Glover top 40 that you got for your finishing position. He finished 25th, and Greg and I are the losers because we had Lucas Glover to finish inside the top 20 and Christian Bezuidenhout to finish inside the top 20. And Greg, they both finished T25, one shot out.
Ugh. Killer. Christian needed birdie on 18. Didn't get it. Which is disappointing. Hit a bad wedge shot over into Brendan Todd territory. Yeah. So that was really disappointing, but he barely made the cut. I mean, I thought for a while he was going to miss the cut.
Yeah, he played well on Saturday and got back into it.
Right. He shot 73, 71. So he was, he was at even. So he was going to make it, but not looking good for a top 20. And it was just one shot out of it. And Glover, man, he played some really good golf too. He started the tournament 3 over through 3.
Yeah, then he played well. Then he bogeyed 18 today. He not only bogeyed 18, but he made double on 12 as well. So it's like a really cool and fun situation.
Well, so, that's why Patrick took a little off the odds for a little safety, a little peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Rick, I have a hockey group chat, and one of the guys texted in. I know we were talking little puck last time.
You're a little puckhead.
One of my buddies was watching PGA Tour live, and he sent a text. Haven't watched a ton of golf in my life, but the two worst putts I've ever seen on the PGA Tour are both today from Lucas Glover.
Yep. That's honestly, he could have sent that text anytime in the last 10 years, and it could have been true.
Yeah.
Who's your hockey team of choice?
I'm a Penguins fan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm a Flyers fan, so we've got a little bad blood.
Little beef.
Yeah, a little beef. I'm not really that big of a Flyers fan. Or a hockey.
They're both fun. They're both fun teams.
Broad Street Bullies.
It's been a long time since then. We did not have Akshay on the outright card for any of us. The extra 50 best bets. Greg, how did this not win? Maddie Schmid.
He laid an egg over the weekend.
You had Maddie Schmid top 40. He started 69-72, and then he went 73-76 on the weekend. Oh yeah. No. He made an 8-on-8 today.
It was a lot. I mean, this was the lock of all. That's why it was my best bet. It was going to happen. I guess when the lines speak, I should listen. Right, Rick?
Oh, that's right. I'm now 2 for 2 on line speaking to me.
That's right. His odds were so long for that for a reason. We found that out today the hard way.
I did get Corey Connors to be the top Canadian plus 110 over Pendrith, Svensson, Silverman, and Sloan. So that's a winner. And then Patrick, your boy, John Rahm, Rambo.
Yeah, boy.
You bet him at plus 650. He played well, but not well enough to overtake Dean Burmeister, not well enough to get himself into a playoff with he and Sergio Garcia. He finished in a tie for fourth, 3 shots off the lead.
Yeah, we got to talk about Sergio Garcia's Twitter activity this week, by the way.
How was it?
Oh, he's posting, like, obviously not him, maybe his wife or someone from his team, but like every moment from the tournament they're posting on his Twitter.
I'm gonna look
missed a 4-footer on the last hole to win the tournament, which was unfortunate. But yeah, Mean Dean, Machine Burmeister with the win. John Rahm, disappointing.
I was wondering how you knew it wasn't him tweeting, but it's literally just a bunch of videos of him playing.
Yes.
Like in the moment.
He's like, oh, I'm so pumped for this playoff. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, dialed and ready. Like,
and that was post missing a 4-footer to win on the last hole. Oh, I'm so ready for this.
That's funny. One and done. I don't have the final numbers, but I will tell you that I had Matt Fitzpatrick. Kyle and Josh had Corey Connors. Patrick probably won the week, right, with Ludwig?
No, Fitzpatrick beat
no,
him.
No, you.
Yeah. Oh, well, excuse me. Dude, then.
Horrible Sunday. Horrible. The back nine. Oh, my gosh.
Ludwig, 73, including a 38 on the back nine. Matt Fitzpatrick, a 67 to finish T10.
Great pick. Yep.
Mark had Billy Horschel, who missed the cut.
Hate that.
Real shame. Greg, you had Alex Noren, who finished T14.
Yeah, pick. Right there. One shot out of Fitzpatrick. One shot behind Fitzy.
So I think I saw Fitzy got like 223,000. So that would have been the winning amount for us. And then we'll have Josh tabulate all this stuff and we'll see, run your pool and find out where we all stand.
Fun.
Tough.
I don't do the math. I don't keep the sheet.
No, this is tough because T10, these used to be really meaningful.
I know.
Right? You get like a T10, that's a big deal.
Doesn't matter.
Not anymore.
A T10 at a non-signature event, you might as well just miss the cut. Who cares?
Yeah, don't pick anyone.
It really does feel that way.
Save your guys.
Yeah, right.
I don't have a strong feeling.
They're going to win.
Yeah.
We're taking a bye. Team McDonald's taking a bye this week.
Okay, gents. Well, here's what we're going to do. We obviously have a lot of Masters content coming next week, but we just certainly cannot help ourselves to talk about a couple of storylines right now. And we are going to do that after we take a quick word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
And we're back. I will declare it Masters Week officially right now. We are off and running. It's Major Championship Week. There are plenty of storylines. I have not asked you for these in advance, so I'm going to hope that you guys have been just ruminating on some things. I would like to know the one, you can only choose one thing that you are most interested in for next week. And we will start with Greg because he looks more prepared.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. So nope. Narrowing it down to one is a challenge.
Only get one.
And that's the thing that I guess I got to put a little thought into. I think the number one thing is, how does Rory McIlroy perform on Thursday specifically? And then that transitions into Friday. And how does he perform? If he passes that test, how does he perform Saturday? How does he perform Sunday? Look, he's going for the career Grand Slam. He is still one of the very best players in the world. We've seen Rory come into the Masters in great form and play terrible. We've seen him come in kind of average form and play great. And his entire season, no matter what else happens, comes down to this week. It's an extremely high amount of pressure. And I feel like there's a calmness with him. So I'm very curious to see what we get. I don't like the bouncing around of all the different strategies, but I do think this one works. And because of his form coming in, playing your way into it, he showed really positive signs. I think he answered a lot of questions, and now it's time to see if he can do it at the only place that matters for him.
I do think that the biggest storyline is Rory trying to win the career Grand Slam. And I know that there's a lot of other great stuff. Rahm in defense, Scottie Scheffler's Tiger-esque performance, Tiger himself, the LIV guys and the PGA guys all together in one spot. I get that. But Patrick, there are five guys in the modern game who have accomplished this career feat, and we are getting a chance at it with a guy who has the second shortest odds. This is not a ceremonial attempt where he's 150 to one and he has no chance to win it. This is a true opportunity to make that list six. And I also think there's a pretty good chance no one ever wins the career Grand Slam again. Ooh. And Rory might be the last guy who ever gets on there.
So Greg, Rory McIlroy's last 10 first rounds, he's broken 70 once. That was 2018. He was in the final group on Sunday with Patrick Reed. His last five first rounds, Reed, 72, 73, 76, 75, 73.
Yeah.
Did you see the forecast for next week?
Ugly.
Maybe rain, maybe needs a little distraction, right? Just mud it up, you know, worry about the rain gear, not think about just winning a career. I got other things to focus on.
I hope he pulls out the all tan.
Oh,
Nike rain gear.
I hate
if he that. Does, he's going to win. That's his only chance.
The worst look I have ever seen.
It's terrible. Rain gear needs to be dark.
Imagine wearing that and then having to put the green jacket over it.
It's horrendous. I hate it so much.
I am looking. I'm going to kind of zag here, guys, for my one storyline. It's a guy we haven't seen in a while because he was actually on the PGA Tour this season and then moved to LIV Golf. I'm looking forward to the war that is Augusta National and Tyrrell Hatton. We missed him at Bay Hill. That was like his domain, his big stage, just, you know, shooting the lake, flicking things off, objects, potentially people, maybe even kids, I don't know. And now we get him at Augusta National, a golf course he has publicly said he does not like. So
it's your number one thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just pumped to see him go against Augusta National. Not my number one thing, but like my number one side quest kind of.
He played well this week.
Yeah, he could have won.
Also, I hate these things. I hate these like average trends or whatever.
I love them.
I did see, and I might butcher the numbers, but I did see that the average winner of the Masters is like 32 years old. Ranked 18th in the world and wins it on their eighth try or something like that. And Tyrrell Hatton is like 32 years old, 18th in the world and playing it for the eighth time or something. He's the guy that the silly trend loves.
The problem with silly trends is, especially if you, depending on how far back you go, like the prime has changed drastically. It used to be, well, you play in your 20s and you kind of get your feet under you. And in your 30s, you start winning. And maybe you hang around in your 40s. But really, your 30s are your prime. Now, you're like almost on the tail end. If you're 35, you're on like the tail end. These guys seem old. So that has been a big shift, I think, affect some of those averages. But it's interesting nonetheless.
If he wears this on Thursday, we are in big trouble.
Backwards hat included. Green jackets would love it.
Hate the tan on tan.
I like it.
No.
I don't like it.
He's wearing a onesie.
I like it.
No.
Monochromatic is in.
Okay.
Well, you could go with all the same, but it's got to be navy blue, black. That's what rain gear is.
What about all white?
That might be cool.
No.
Looks like a painter. He looked like a caddy. He looked like a caddy.
I separate myself from Greg. He would look like a caddy. That would be freaking hilarious. I separate myself from Greg because I don't care if it's black or dark or whatever. I just do not like that brown or whatever, like tan, whatever it is. I just hate it.
Maybe dark green. What if you just wore green?
I think you could do that. I'd be fine with that.
I'd be fine
with that. I'm not. It's just, it's rain gear. Like that means that it's raining out. That means that it's going to be muddy. So that's where the brown just doesn't look good. But that's why you can't go all white rain gear. That doesn't make sense.
A big brown guy is what you look like.
Like a big bear.
Yeah, like a big bear.
Rawr.
I will say, this is probably the best chance in a while of a debutante potentially winning. 20 of them.
And
out of 89.
And like two of them have got to be in the top 10 of the odds board.
Yeah.
With Wyndham and Ludwig.
Those were the two I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm. And now you add Akshay, a lefty, into the mix.
Oh, man.
Those butter cuts on those dog leg right to lefts.
Who's next after those three?
Austin Eckroat. You have Denny McCarthy, Adam Shank, top five player in the world, Matthew Pavon. I don't know if he's still top five in the FedEx Cup. I'm not quite sure. But Nick Dunlap. I could keep on going.
No, that's okay. What
Grayson
else?
Murray.
What else is on your list, Greg?
Well, Scottie Scheffler is absolutely on my list. And the general concept of the best players in the world not playing very well. Mm-hmm. Like this idea, which I say jokingly, Scottie and the long shots, has really been the theme of the year. And I'm curious, with the guys like Jordan Spieth, guys like Rory McIlroy, even guys like John Rahm and Brooks Koepka, who haven't seen a whole lot of, right? What are they going to bring to the table? Are we going to see Augusta National and its course history, you know, the stickiness of its course history, bring some of these guys back from a place that is not great? Or are we going to see Scottie in the long shots again? And on this leaderboard, and I'm just fascinated to see how that all plays out, because Scottie is so clearly the best player in the world. It's been a long time since we've seen the last time we've seen that was Tiger Woods, where it is a clear, undisputed best player in the world.
If you could choose, Patrick, one golfer, you decide tonight, for any reason that you want, it doesn't have to be financial. In fact, I'd prefer it not be financial. I'd prefer it not be professional. Who do you want to win the Masters? Who do you, not who you think, who would you want to win the Masters?
This one may come as a surprise. Xander Schauffele. I'm serious. I would love for him to break through.
Why?
I think the Players Championship was the best thing. I've done the mental gymnastics. I've done the Simone Biles routine in my head. I've come to terms that the Players Championship was the best thing that could happen for him. And when you talk to PGA Tour players and you ask them, like, who's the guy, they all say Xander Schauffele. They're like, his game's so good. He's going to win tons of major championships. How about you step up to the plate and finally do it then? So he's my guy.
Greg, who do you want? Desires. Look deep into your heart and tell me who you want to win the Masters.
So there are three guys that I don't know how to decipher between.
It's like Greg has, you know, he's got
Russell Henley.
He's got multiple kids, so he has to love them all equally. He can't just he can't just give me one.
Oh, well, with kids, it's easy.
this is a lot harder to decide.
This is between Scottie, Spieth, and Rory. Right there. For Rory McIlroy to win the career Grand Slam, that would be absolutely incredible. And I love watching Jordan Spieth play, and I want him to win another major. Jordan's probably third on the list, quite frankly. I think it's important to have a star in the game. I respect Scottie's game so much, and to see him win another Masters would be awesome. But I'm going to say Rory McIlroy, because it's just it's so historic, and I want to see that.
I don't disagree. Let me throw out a wild card. Max Homa. I think I would really enjoy a Max Homa win.
I would love to see that.
That would be good. What would be the best for business, for content?
Ooh.
Would it be
probably
like
Rory?
You think Rory? What about
like Rory Spieth playoff?
What about Rahm or Brooks or?
See, the best for business is not always about who wins.
It's the French right? Like, on the way.
the loss.
Like 2015, Numbies, or 16.
16.
Like Numbies.
The Jordan Spieth collapse is. So if you have like Rahm beat McIlroy on 18 and McIlroy makes a bad decision somewhere. That's
man, you cynic.
Yeah, that's the cynic. I'm not rooting for that. That's what the business want. There needs to be a good guy versus bad guy, and there needs to be a loss somewhere.
Yeah, it would be Rory gagging. Like throwing one in the water on 16 or something. Yeah.
But wait. No, I'm wrong. Because best for business is simple. It's just not going to happen. So that's Tiger winning.
Yeah. I already threw that like aside as not even worth a conversation.
Aside from that, it's more fun to go in different directions.
Who is the worst for business of like the top 25 guys? I think it might be Tommy Fleetwood. Like Tommy Fleetwood, he's not going to move the needle for like casual fans. It's going to be like the sickos would really love it, but like it's not going to be universally heralded in any way. Like if a Hideki were to win or anything like that, like I think, and I would love for Tommy to do it, but I just think it would be the worst for business.
What about a Patrick Reed?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say another Patrick Cantlay.
That might be, that would be pretty dull.
He'd serve like oatmeal and Wonder Bread at his champions dinner. I'm playing.
I actually like Patrick Kelly. It's just
I do too.
Even like because I was even convincing myself like Wyndham Clark winning again would be like holy crap, this guy might just be the greatest thing ever now.
Yeah,
right. That would be a story for sure.
Right.
He won a major last year.
Sam Burns would probably be pretty tough for most people.
Yeah, but again, I think this is really important. How the win happens is more important than the winner for the numbers.
Breaking news. Ooh. Akshay Bhatia has just been added to the field on the sports books, and he has odds. And his odds to win are 75-1. They are the same as Sergio Garcia. They are between Siwoo Kim, Corey Connors, Sung J.M., Adam Scott. That territory, Akshay Bhatia has just been added to.
Miscut.
Really? He just scorched everybody.
He's playing really good golf at the moment.
I love his game for Augusta National. I think it could be a place that really opens up his creativity. Suits his shot shape. I'm a little worried about his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he deals with it all the time, is what it seemed like.
Which it does. If you talking about hockey, like if you separate your shoulder, it happens a lot more often after that.
Well, you're like more susceptible to it like every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of gets less painful the more it happens, or so I've heard. A couple of my friends have that issue. It just like it pops out, which is strange. So it'll probably be okay, but also a first timer. I think that group is probably a pretty accurate place to put him. Guys that could play really well, but probably aren't going to win.
Okay. Next week. Greg and I will do the Monday DFS preview at the normal time. The Tuesday preview will be later than normal at approximately 7 p.m. Eastern. And I say approximately because it is reliant on me and my travel, because I'll be doing it after I get there. So I've got to like get off a plane, get my bag, rent a car, drive 2.5 hours, set up my stuff. So tentatively, 7 Eastern.
So we may be late.
Yes. Yes. Big potato.
Big potato is stewing right now.
We might be a hair late because I'm not going to drive 150 miles an hour the entire time. I'll only do it for half the time. And then the rest of the week, we've got the round by round recaps, obviously, but we're doing some stuff on CBS Sports Network. I think they're going to play the pods in certain places. So it's going to be exciting stuff.
We'll be out there.
And I've heard we are bringing back a guest of the show. Is that correct? He's helping out this upcoming week, or did I just completely make this up?
Are you talking about JM?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Musso.
Uh-huh. Moose is loose.
Yeah, I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but yes, Joe Musso will be helping out, and he's always great, and you should be very nice to him. He was upset the one time he came on, and everyone was very mean to him, and I've been trying to repair that relationship ever since.
I must not have been there.
It was in Phoenix, and Joe hosted the first cut, and everyone, and I appreciate the support, all was like, who is this? Who is this guy? And I was like, it's okay. Joe's a good guy. Everybody loves him.
Yeah. It's like your divorced mom brings home a new boyfriend for the first time. It's like,
yes,
you'll never be dad.
Right. Let's just all be nice to each other. Oh, it's exactly like that. Yeah. Perfect. Let's all be nice to each other. I'm going to tour the IBM Stats Center on Wednesday.
Oh,
nice.
And see the new, how the Masters does like the shot tracker and uses AI and supercomputers or whatever. I got invited to that. I'm interested in seeing that.
Tell Watson I say what's up.
I will tell.
Yeah, we got some beef we got to brush under the rug.
I'm sure Watson knows already.
Yeah, that's true.
yeah, he's heard it already. He's consumed it. It's on the internet now. Paul wants to know what there is to do in Augusta. I'm under the impression there is nothing to do in Augusta. It's
Hooters, baby.
Is there a Hooters in Augusta?
Yeah, and a Waffle House.
There you go. But I'm under the impression that it is like just the golf course and not much else going on.
Yeah. I've only been to the golf course. I haven't explored much of the area. I think there's a military base or fort or something. Mm-hmm.
There is.
Was it Fort Bragg or something?
I think that's right. I could be wrong. I have a colleague who is stationed out of there. Crazy guy.
Yeah.
That's why I said colleague, hey. Not friend.
How would you introduce me, as a friend or as a colleague?
You guys are friends. He's just like insane. He's in the military.
I kind of like that. Hey, this is my colleague.
Exactly where you stand.
Maybe it's not Fort Bragg. Someone said it, that might be in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that might be right. Southeastern forts.
You could see the house that Patrick Reed built, Augusta University, right? Check out the campus. State. Yeah, Augusta State.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'll build in some time to do that for sure. Okay, we'll be back next week, Monday. It'll be a very quick turnaround because Greg and I will see you on Monday, and it is officially Masters Week. Enjoy very much. We are rocking and rolling. Big thanks, producer Debo tonight. Thank you, Debo, for doing all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Patrick McDonald. You can find him at PMcDonaldCBS, and Greg Ducharme is available at TheRealGFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.